Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Sari Flesh. And we just had Barbara Melman on, and very interesting. I mean, in reference to technology for seniors, people are afraid of technology. And yet, it is so beneficial. Not every bit of it. You know, some things, like anything in life, some things are good and some things are bad. And technology is the same way. People shouldn't be afraid of it, but at the same time, you can't let it control your life. The next issue we're going to talk with today is a much tougher one. And my dear friend Lois Schaefer is here, who is a sweetheart. Okay, I'm just saying it right up front. She's a sweetheart, lives in Great Neck. I know Lois for years. And she's an author of a book, The Unthinkable. And this is a book that nobody wants to write. But I give her credit for doing it and for trying to bring to people's attention, you know, what happened. Lois, good morning.
Good morning to you, and thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about something that has become more important to us as a society, which has escalated over the years. My daughter was murdered, gun violence. And I have always been I have always talked about guns. When my daughter had, you know, had her children and used to say to me, if you want to buy my son a toy, just not a gun.
Okay.
But to get to my story, in October of 2008, she is my dear friend, Michelle Schimmel, Assemblywoman Michelle Schimmel, who unfortunately is retiring.
Right.
She was talking to me about her micro-stamping bill. What is that? What it is, it's a DNA. What happens is that very often in a crime, a gun crime, the shells are found. The gun is not. It is a matter of tracing a gun as to where it, you know, might have come from. She was talking to me October 2008 about this bill that she had co-authored with then Senator Eric Schneiderman, the micro-stamping bill.
Yep.
And at the time, I was working very hard on the Obama campaign. And I said, after election, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do whatever it is I can do to help you. That was October 2008. December 2008, my daughter interrupted a burglary in her own home. Two 17-year-olds, one in possession of a stolen handgun, saw her, shot her. She collapsed on the floor, and then when she collapsed, because later on we found out when he was questioned, he shot her twice more because he didn't want her to identify him. And so I had to do something. And, you know, as I said, gun violence has escalated even more than 2008 when my daughter was murdered. I mean, we talk about the massacres Newtown, or just Orlando, in Turkey, Virginia Tech Combine. I mean, I could just go down the list. But each one of those people or those children who were murdered had a face. I had to do something. And I thought that if I wrote a book to put a face on gun violence, and the story of my book is told from different people who knew my daughter, friends, her family, people she worked with, who she knew and who loved her. And I wanted people to identify with a person who they could either relate to or, God forbid, know. And that's what I did.
And honestly, it was difficult, but actually it's twofold. One, it's a tremendous tribute to your daughter and to her family and yourself, but it's also bringing it to people's attention, which you're a major gun, you know, an advocate for. And you're not saying to take every gun away. You know, fair is fair. I mean, you have a hunter or something like this, so it's not 100%, but the illegal guns and guns that are out there, that the Orlando situation, when you can go in and buy, it's not called a machine gun, but whatever they call that gun, that supposedly was bought 2 days before, and you kill 50 people or whatever the number is. And you're right, everybody had a face. Everybody, and I think there was very few that were over 30 years old in that group. And it's not the last. I mean, this after that statistics came out, I mean, most of these murders are done in America, believe it or not. The gun violence doesn't exist at the same level around the other countries in the world.
30 people are murdered each day. I mean, multiply that.
Wow.
And I also told the story. I made my daughter, we called her Susie. I told the story about her. The tendency when somebody dies is to make them an angel. She was human. And I wanted to make her human. There are stories in my book that are told about her. She got herself into trouble, cut school, got into drugs. I mean, did all sorts of things that a teenager.
Right. Human things.
Human things, right. that kids would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so I wanted to do something about my readership,
right,
doing something. I also want to tell you about my publisher.
Okay, go ahead.
Dallas, Texas, one of the worst gun states that we know of. And when my book was accepted that they would publish it, I thought to myself, my God, this is, I don't want to use the word wonderful. They absolutely, they understood. It's not that I'm a nobody, I'm an unknown. And I tried to get it published by well-known publishers, and for one reason or another, I was not, I don't want to say rejected. I was not accepted. And this wonderful...
You've got a very good, delicate use of words. I like this. I'm writing them down. I'm an unknown, not a nobody. It's the truth. And not accepted. Okay, again, I'm sorry.
No, that's...
That's a very positive way of doing things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. They were absolutely fantastic. And the way I was treated and their editing could not have been more understanding, compassionate, besides very, very literate and right. professional. They really did, you know, a job that I will never, ever forget.
Good.
Well, your book is very, very motivating to so many people. And I'm truly sorry for your loss, and I'm sure the audience that's listening today is sorry for what happened. And you speak about sensible gun control and sensible gun legislation in your book, but it seems to fall on deaf ears of the gun owners and the NRA. They don't appear to have any compassion for the wounded, for the victims' families. If you had the opportunity to speak to the head of the NRA, what would you say to him?
I have had the opportunity.
I'm going to give Lois a second to think about that, because it's going to be a good answer, and we have to go into a break, and I don't want to interrupt it. So when we come back, Sari's going to continue on that line of thought. But right now, you're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. We'll be right back.